Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. At this time, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, Allah's mercy, is a beautiful and unique scene. That three things Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given to us in one time. First, Allah Ta'ala has, Allah who is the Khaliq, the Creator, the Malik, the Owner, the Razik, the Distributor of the universe, without whose order not one leaf can shake or move. Allah Ta'ala gives life, Allah Ta'ala takes life. Allah Ta'ala gives to every form of creation in the universe. And Allah Ta'ala's first reward to us is this, that on His preferred and desired month, which is the beloved month to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Ramadan, He has given this to us, Ramadan. The second reward that we've got this time is sinners like us. He has gathered us together in this month. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. A very, very beloved month, Ramadan, and in a very beloved and beautiful time, Allah Ta'ala has brought us together. Yes, we are all busy, dispersed, scattered, but Allah Ta'ala has gathered us. As I said, Allah Ta'ala is the Malik, He is the Khaliq, and only He can do this. And only He has collected us. So this is the second reward. First reward is Ramadan He gave to us. Second reward, on a blessed day and blessed time, He has gathered us together. And the third reward is that Allah Ta'ala's most beloved and the beautiful amal in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to do that as well. So the three rewards at the same time. Dhikr of Allah is very, very beloved to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala loves to see His creation and remember Him. Not Himself, rather the angels on the heavens, they see the people doing dhikr. And Allah Ta'ala likes this. So imagine that the angels are also included and a witness that look on the earth, my creation, they're sitting and remembering me, Allah Ta'ala says. My brothers, I'm not saying this to try to promote what we're doing. I'm speaking the reality, the truth and the haq. And this is the situation with regards to the dhikr of Allah. Look, normally we hear regularly see that after this majlis gathering, if we hear people say, please stay behind, we're going to distribute food and sweets. Stay behind. You hear this and people stay behind. They're waiting for the sweets. Sweets are going to come. Sweets are going to come. The boxes of sweets are going to come. We're going to take one. Or if you hear an announcement, please brother, stay behind, stay behind. After this gathering, we're going to give food. MashaAllah. Everyone says, MashaAllah. Even the person who's downstairs who's not in the gathering, he'll hear it and he'll run upstairs. Oh, food's going to be distributed. Food, food. And then they quickly call their neighbors. Quick, 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 come. Bring your plates with you. Fill up the food. And we can take the food home and feed to our family. Just one announcement. Yeah, even Mawlana Sahib was announcing, as this point came into my mind, when Mawlana Sahib was announcing dhikr. Didn't he announce, Mawlana Sahib, did you say this? That after Salah there will be a gathering of dhikr of Allah. And what did he say? It will be a lot of benefit. Bada faida hoga. Now if I speak about the faida, the benefit, we could continue for so long. So what I'm saying is that the announcement, there will be a gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, and there will be fruit of Jannah given out after the gathering. I'm not saying this, Allah Ta'ala said this. The hadith says this. So if we announce this, this wouldn't be wrong. That there will be a gathering of dhikr after salah, and we'll give you the fruits of paradise after. If we said box of sweets, we'd sit down. And dal and chawal, we'd straight away sit down. But what we're saying, announcing, Hafiz Sahab announced from his mouth, that sit down after salah, soon as the salah finishes, there'll be a majlis of dhikr, and what will be distributed? The fruits of paradise will be distributed. So how lucky are we? We're sitting here, straight away we sat down to eat. Not one person left. Rather, people came from far to the invitation. Whose invitation? Whose feast? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's feast. Great, great ni'mah. Great reward. What a great gathering this is. The dhikr of Allah. Think. How weighty and powerful is this majlis. That where a gathering of dhikr is formed, there's no differentiation. You could go in a jungle. You could sit on the banks of a river. You could be in a shopping center. You could be in a masjid. You could be in your house. You could be in your shop. You could be on your mattress. You could be on the banks of your mattress, underneath your quilt. Wherever you are, Allah says, wherever there's a gathering of dhikr, that is the garden of paradise, wherever you are. Wherever you are at that time. And if you don't see it, these, the hadith are telling us this. Doesn't matter if you can't see it. The hadith is telling us. So this is a brilliant, brilliant gathering, the dhikr of Allah. That place where we're sitting, it's transformed. Yeah, it's not like we're sitting in a palace or a mansion. No, direct, it's assigned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This gathering. What does this gathering, this piece of earth we're sitting on? It's not Jannah. Rather, there's a beautiful hadith here. It's not Jannah. Rather, it's the garden of Jannah. This is a unique statement here. It's not just Jannah. It's a garden. Like, for example, I'm going to London. You're going to London? No, I'm going to London to the museum. Then it becomes a special trip because you're defining the specific nature of your trip. I'm going to see the Tower of London because you're saying I'm going to see this in London. So Allah is not saying that where you're sitting has become Jannah. Allah says it becomes the garden of Jannah. Allah is specific. Allah is trying to explain more detail. That, so we can understand that the dhikr gathering becomes a garden, and the people who sit in the gathering of dhikr, they're not sitting in the garden, they are wandering around in the garden, Allah says. These are the words of the hadith. Allah Ta'ala says, you're wandering around. Allah says, whatever you like when you're wandering around, you're allowed to, there's no restriction, break it off and eat the fruits of paradise. My Hazrat Nur al-Marqada rahmatullah used to say, eat to your fill in this garden. Allah is giving the fruits and all the foods and the delicacies of Jannah. So we should create this mental structure in our brains when we're sitting here. Don't sit here lazy and dead-hearted and sleeping and why am I here and just wasting time. This is not what we're sitting here for. Allah Ta'ala says, you're sitting in the best gathering in the world. The angels, the most special angels, they're standing at the door of the masjid now. When you come in to greet you, you know, like when there's a nikah and the card is distributed. I swear, I want to keep on saying I swear by Allah every time I speak. But I'm telling you from experience, a person can swear by Allah that this is the fact. This is the fact. That these things are happening. Angels are at the door greeting us, and a person who's here, he's fasting and he's breaking the fast with, look, for example, at iftari time, we normally eat with different delicacies, but at the fast time when it breaks, at iftar time, we're going to break the fast with the delicacies of Jannah. The angels will bring them from the heavens and present them to the fasting person who's doing dhikr. So brothers, come regularly, be steadfast, and this is Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala's blessed month, and special things will come, foods at the time of iftar from Allah. Yes, people bring iftar to the masjid, but the gift that will come from Allah, from the heavens to those, the dhakirin, I'm lucky, you are lucky, I'm fortunate. Alhamdulillah, day, night in Ramadan, we are doing the action that Allah loves. That loves, and the pious predecessors have said, I've told you about the preparation before, that in this month, don't make a mistake. Don't make a mistake. Don't make the mistakes in this month. This month is too valuable to make mistakes. When you hear something, don't make the mistake. And don't just keep listening, but do. This is the month of doing. Brothers, it's not the month for the ears. It's the month for the body parts to move, to do action. Allah Ta'ala says, the more you hear and understand, put it into action. Put it into action. The best amal, the best action is the dhikr of Allah. The highest grade, the best action in this month. To remember Allah. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, remember his dua, a prayer, supplication. Subhanallah. What a great Prophet, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam is doing dua, praying to Allah, Allah, my Lord, if you see that I stand up and leave the gathering of the dhakirin and I go to another gathering where I'm lazy, then Allah break my legs. Allah's Nabi is saying this dua. Allah's Prophet. Allah, if you see me leave the gathering of your dhikr and I go to another gathering where there's no remembrance of you, Allah break my legs. They imagine the Mahbubin, the beloved of Allah, the Prophet didn't want to leave 1 second Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. 1 second. Imagine the status. He was Arifin. He was the Nabi, the Prophet. He knows that how valuable is Allah's remembrance, how important it is. Allah, there cannot be that I live my life and I leave your remembrance. This mistake will never happen from your Prophet. That there's a gathering of your remembrance. People are remembering you and I leave that and I prefer another gathering, another action, another pastime, or another hobby. And I say, oh, leave dhikr and put it aside. No, Allah, how can this be? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, I can't come to dhikr, I'm busy, I've got to go and meet someone. Weird excuses people make today. Weird excuses. This is dua of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Dua. Big loss, a person who misses dhikr. That you prefer another gathering, a hobby, or busy action, or pastime, for the sake of dunya, you are leaving Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, and especially in Ramadan, then that person is the biggest loser in the world. He's the biggest loser in the world. Such a great super action dhikr with great rewards, and a person leaves that gathering. Amazing. There was an arifin, another pious preacher. This was a Nabi, I'll just give you an example. There was an arif billah, those people who recognize Allah, who attain marifa, who swim in the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's knowledge, and they take the pearls of Allah's knowledge out of that ocean when they swim. These are called arif billah. Many people after their name, the sheikhs, they call it arif billah. So your grandfather sheikh, my sheikh, whose servant I am. I'm the servant of my sheikh. He was given the title from the pious predecessors. Arif Billah, Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh, his sheikh gave him the title Arif Billah Ali Murtaza. I remember an event in my gathering of my sheikh. I used to go to the khanka of my teacher, and there was an old student of my sheikh, and he used to be nice and gentle to me in the khanka, in the gathering. And something I'd like to present to you for our Islam. There's some people come to the khanka, new people, old people, people who come regularly. I'm giving you the gathering and the environment, and in the environment of the khanka, don't be selfish. When you see a new person who's come, a new person has passion, he wants to serve his sheikh, pick up the shoes of the sheikh, open the door, serve the teacher. He wants to do that, he's got passion. So the people who are older, who've come from before, when a new person comes, they should promote him, encourage him. When I went to the khanka first days, then there were great walis of Allah, pious people then. They used to keep pushing me forward. Hazrat, you sit here, you go and sit next to the sheikh, you do this action, you do the khidmat, and we give this to you. And they used to promote me and encourage me and help me and drive me. And they used to sit the back, and I used to think that these people, mashallah, they're encouraging me and giving me the opportunity, rather than competing and pushing the new person back, and I'm sitting at the front. I'm telling you the adab of the khanka, how you should sit and how you listen to the sheikh when he speaks, all of these things, the adab, the manners, the principles, then you come full of noor, you attain noor. It's not about coming here just to do dhikr and shunning other people, disregarding other people. When a person comes to the khanka and he has manners and adab and he follows the principles, then he learns and he improves. I'll give you another example of our pious predecessors. These are important points in the gathering of the Shaykh, the Walis of Allah. Keep one thing in your mind, that I'm not a Wali of Allah. I'm training you, assisting you, that if you find a Wali of Allah in your life, then follow these principles and this training. Never think that astaghfirullah, 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 that I'm promoting myself, that even in my mind I think that I'm a teacher. This is not acceptable. I consider myself the lowest and the worst, because Hazrat, my Shaykh, gave me an order that you go and teach people dhikr and speak to the people before dhikr. And they recommended me a kitab before, 50 years ago, that take this kitab, sit down and explain and read from the kitab and do the khutbah, etc., explain to the people and do dhikr and host the dhikr. So I'm fulfilling that duty. But whenever I speak about the pious predecessors, never look towards me that this is the sheikh. No, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. No, I am behind all of those people, and give me the opportunity to pick up your shoes. I am a small person, worst person, but because Hazrat, my sheikh, has given me an order, maybe you think that this is the sheikh, the teacher. I've got sober than company of my teacher and the walis of Allah, and the goodness is coming to me, and I'm trying to share that with you. So there was an arif billah who had mashallah attained the knowledge of Allah, and Dhunnun Misri rahmatullah alayhi was his name. You've probably heard his name and his events. Hazrat Dhunnun Misri, and in his time, he was a great wali of Allah, pious, close to Allah, upright. Hazrat Dhunnun Misri rahmatullah. What happened? Once Allah Ta'ala showed him a karamat. The walis of Allah, the sheikhs who are close to Allah, Allah Ta'ala sometimes makes apparent karamat, miracles. Miracles are haq and truth. The miracle of a wali of Allah is haq. And sometimes it's not in the control or in the power of the wali of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is the one who makes all things happen. Sometimes wali of Allah has to do tabliq, he has to explain deen, Islam to people, and their brains don't function, these people. Their hearts don't open, their brains don't open, their eyes don't open, they're blind. They're deaf and dumb. They don't understand. So Allah Ta'ala then wants to give some extra power to his wali. Allah Ta'ala sends a karamat, a miracle that the people see in the wali of Allah, so that it attracts them to the deen of Islam. That's why miracles come into the walis of Allah's lives. I never heard, maybe once or twice we caught something, we saw something and it came into the kitabs and was recorded, but never did Hazrat, my sheikh, explain or define or give a bayan about his karamat. Until today, oh, I saw this dream, this happened to me, this wali of Allah came to my dream, I did ziyarah of Rasulullah, etc. No, to my yaqeen, never did he make it apparent or obvious. Never did he show it. As I said, arif billah. So first, I want to present, what is an arif billah? My Hazrat. So this was a sheikh, Hazrat Dhunnun Misri. And so he saw a miracle, and he was a special khadim of Hazrat. And as I was told where I heard it, so he once took me to his home. And he put down the straw mat, and there was a candle lit in the night. And his elderly wife, he said, make the food. A very close murid and student of my sheikh has come. SubhanAllah, we should pick up their shoes. These are the people, the pious people, they had adab. This is a murid of my sheikh from long time, and he's inviting me to his home. He sat me down on the straw mat, and he requested his wife. She made some bhajiya, she made some dal, and the tandoor was, the roti was being cooked. And he was walking with me, and I asked him a question once. This murid, you know, a new person like me, I was new at that time. I said, you call Hazrat Arif Billah. What does Arif Billah mean? I asked this student. He started to smile. He said, this question, I also came in my mind, and I was sitting in the gathering of Hazrat early days when I was also a student, he said. And I said, Hazrat, that people call you Arif Billah. What is an Arif Billah? And suddenly, that sleepiness came over me. I said, karamat came. He said, sleepiness, and I dozed off, and I saw Hazrat, that there was noor, a cloud of noor of light. And Hazrat Sahab was looking so beautiful, and he was tall there. And he pointed to me that, look. And he said, he cleared his throat and spat onto the ground, and all of the earth and the heavens was full of noor. And he said, this is Arif Billah. That the person who recognizes Allah, Allah Ta'ala makes everything around him full of noor and light and full of benefit. My brothers, this is tazkiyah majlis. That's why sometimes I present these words. Don't give me fatwa that what is this? Prove this from hadith. Where's this sahih? I'm just explaining to you the experience of the pious predecessors. I've heard this at the feet of the pious predecessors, and I'm just sharing this with you. So, Hazrat Dhunnun Misri, rahmatullahi, Arif Billah. Going back to his example, I was speaking about him with regards to this majlis, with regards to the gathering of the dhikr of Allah. How great is the gathering of dhikr of Allah? Such a great Nabi. I explained to you the dua of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam to explain about dhikr of Allah and how important it is. And now I explain to you about an Arif Billah, Hazrat Dhunnun Misri, rahmatullahi. So once, and a karamat, the miracle was also made apparent around him. So people saw this. To explain how he was wali, he was traveling on a boat, and some people were sitting with him in the boat, and somebody had a very precious pearl, and he lost it. My pearl, I've lost it. Someone said, somebody stole it. And they were all wearing attire, good attire. And Hazrat Dhunnun Misri, he was there. He was wearing his clothes torn. And they said, this poor man, he's stolen your pearl. He said, no, I've not stolen it. I've said, no, you're the thief. And everyone grabbed him. Give me the pearl. So he focused to Allah, you khabir basir. These people are blaming me incorrectly. Tell me, Allah, that did I steal this pearl or not? He's asking Allah for help. Allah's rahmah came into being. And the people in the boat, Allah Ta'ala ordered all the fish in the river, 100 fish, they came out of the water and with that pearl in their mouth. And he said, take your pearl from the mouth of the fish. So this was the wali of Allah, great wali of Allah. Brother, in the Khanka, another example of his I will present to you, that in the majlis, the gathering of the walis of Allah, a person who comes to the gathering of the wali of Allah, he'll never leave empty-handed. Never will he leave empty-handed. He'll always benefit something minimum. I'll give you a small example. Very small example. If you go to a perfume shop, itar shop, you're looking for the itar, there are bottles of itar, the caps are open. When you come out, the smell will be with you when you leave that shop. Even a little bit light, but somewhere the fragrance will have attached to your clothes and your body. In the same way, the gathering of the walis of Allah, when you go to the khanka, the shop of the wali of Allah, you earn wilayat, friendship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's connection. So a person who attends the gathering of the khanka, the gathering of the wali of Allah, doesn't matter what he is, but when he departs, he leaves with a small piece, morsel of wilayat, friendship of Allah in his heart, the splash of the liking, the desire, the love of Allah comes into his heart. Hazrat Gangohi, rahmatullahi, I will tell you an event from his life. Maybe I've told you before. He was free from Darul Uloom, Hazrat Gangohi, rahmatullahi, And mashallah, very, very capable student he was. Hazrat Gangohi, of course, when he's going to become a wali of Allah, he's going to be capable, isn't he? So this was an example. He was free, graduated from Darul Uloom, and a new alim. He has passion and a bit of brain and intellect. And he said, I'll debate with this person. I'll give fatwa on this. I'll prove this person's wrong. I will show this person the hadith. I'll prove this hadith. A new graduate, new alim, he has the passion. So Hazrat Tanwi Ramdai said, beware. New alim, never sit on the minbar until you have not done your islah by spending time with the wali of Allah. New graduate from Darul Uloom must do islah, spend time in the khanka, then go to become an imam and give the khutbah. But this is all finished today. That's why there's fitna in the ummah today. Call someone a kafir, call someone a bid'ati, give fatwa, someone's an innovator. No, this is not correct. This is not the right way. But the situation was such that when Hazrat Gangohi Ramdai, he was passionate. And there were three walis of Allah at that time who used to sit in one place. What a great generation. Hazrat Hafiz Zan, rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Tanwi, rahmatullahi alayhi. And Hazrat Haji Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, rahmatullahi alayhi. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying about the walis of Allah? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. We learn something. Three walis of Allah, what a great generation. The great golden generation that we still remember today. From them three was one sheikh. Hazrat Ahmad Tanwi rahmatullah alayh. And Hazrat Haji Sahib rahmatullah alayh. And Hazrat Hafiz Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So Hazrat Ahmad Tanwi rahmatullah alayh. No, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanwi. So when Hazrat Rashid Gangohi came and saw him, he questioned. Because he had new knowledge, graduate. He hadn't done his islah. So he questioned. He took hold of the book. He said, how can this be? What action are you doing? How can you prove this? He had the book, the kitabs, the papers. And he went towards the khanka where there were three walis of Allah. He's walking towards the khanka. And by chance, this was good because everything comes from the wali of Allah, his focus, his attention, tawajjuh for the student. So on the first stage, Hazrat Hafiz Sahib he met, and Hazrat Hafiz Sahib was a very unique wali of Allah. He used to smile and laugh and make his student walis of Allah. He was smiling always, laughing. If you read his history, he would laugh, he light-hearted, and beautiful light-hearted character. And people used to say that he was full of ronak and light, and people used to sit with him. And just in that environment, he used to introduce people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Sahibzada, where are you going? He said to Hazrat Rashid Sahib rahmatullah. He said, somebody wrote this sheikh. I want to go and ask him and question him. He hasn't proven what he said. How can he say this? Where's the proof for this? Where's the hadith for this? He said, listen, young man, what are you doing? Where are you going? All of these things are bad, questioning, challenging, to speak to the walis of Allah. Don't speak like this. This is wrong. This is bad manners. You shouldn't do this. This is very big disrespect. And he explained to him, this is not good that you've got knowledge and you're challenging someone to give you nasiha, that don't go to debate and to prove yourself right. Okay, you want to go. Subhanallah, how he prepared him, smiling, laughing. He said, the room past Hazrat Haji Sahib, go to that room and he will tell you the answers. He said, tell me, where's Haji Sahib? I'll go to him. So he went to Haji Sahib, not Hazrat Ahmad Tanwi, he left him, he went to Hazrat Haji Sahib, on the advice of Hafiz Sahib. He said, go to Haji Sahib's room. As I said, somehow the student's gonna reach to the wali's room, and then he will leave with the walayat. And he takes the friendship of Allah, he never leaves empty-handed. So Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Ramdai, he's got his kitabs under his armpit, he's walking, he got to Hazrat Haji Sahib's room, he sat him down. How many days? He had no clothes, no servant, nothing. 40 days he didn't leave. 40 days is with the Haji Sahib, his sheikh, to be. Big point. If you sit in itikaf, alhamdulillah, then you start packing already. Put this kameez in, put this shalwar in, the imama, put this vest in, underwear. You will have started already, isn't it? Tomorrow night's itikaf. But he stayed 40 days, he had no clothes, no preparation, nothing with him. His wife, children, he forgot them. After 40 days he left, and then he was told to leave, that you're free. I let you go, and you are now what you were not before. Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, his neck is bent, and his clothes are dirty. His life has changed amazingly, and zahir he's different, and batin is so pure. His life changed upside down. Then he realized, I was an alim, but now I am an arif. I'm an arif. So brothers, if you get the chance to sit in the majlis of the wali of Allah, then you will leave with the color of that wali of Allah. So I was speaking about, now go back to Dhul-Nun Misri. What a great wali he was. Great wali. How great? That he was sitting in his masjid once, And the king of his time, the Shahzada, the king of his time, the Sultan, and he was in his fortune that day, his kismet was lucky that day. And those people whose kismet is lucky, they are the ones who reach to the feet of the Wali. Even the way he walk past, they say salam. I've seen even a person who says salam to the Wali, he doesn't have niyyah, he's grabbed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who shakes hands, Allah ta'ala grabs him and sits him down, because Allah ta'ala wants to make him a friend at the same time. So, the king of his time was walking past the masjid of Hazrat Dhunnun Misri. And Hazrat said a beautiful statement, something to hear clearly, beautiful statement. It came into the heart when I heard this. He said, Hazrat, that a weak person, if a weak person crosses path with a powerful person, opposes a powerful person, or bumps into a powerful person, is there anything greater than this little short statement? That a weak person, frail person, who crosses path with a strong person, fights with a strong person, is there a more foolish action than this, than to challenge or to fight with a powerful person? So where is Allah? And we are fighting with Allah. We are challenging Allah. Allah has announced this. Allah Ta'ala has announced this. Allah Ta'ala has brought out a whole topic that a sin for a person. When a person sins, who is he fighting with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how this Hazrat Arif Billah said this statement, that the life changes. That why should a person who's so extremely weak fight with a powerful person? Look at me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says to me, don't do this action. And I say, no, Allah, I'm going to do this action. So is this not fighting? Allah says in the Quran, a person who consumes interest, who is he waging war with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, if you don't obey me, interest is one order. But all the orders come in. Allah has given one example. This is the style of the Quran. Through one example, Allah explains that the words of explained, Allah and His Rasul, be prepared to do what? To fight with Allah and His Rasul. Both things come in here now. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Rasulullah sallam gives order and we don't practice it, then what are we doing? We are waging war with who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person sins, what he's doing? He is competing, challenging, waging a fight with Allah. So Hazrat Dhunnun Misri, rahmatullahi, the king was going past. The king of his time, he's got women and money, treasure chests, horses, cavalry, soldiers, army, precious jewels. Does he have anything not in his booty? But a person who has understanding is enough for him. The Wali Wallah said, who are you fighting with? You are the king. You are powerful. You may have money and wealth, but you are not more powerful than Khalik and Malik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is more powerful. No one in today's world. Those people who disobey Allah and Allah's laws they break, then who are they fighting with? Allah. They're not fighting with the world. They're fighting with Rabbul Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why are we challenging Allah? So the Wali of Allah says this. Allah says, you are fighting with me. But Allah still says, you are my servant. I give you a chance. Maybe in a split second on a certain day, you will come to me, Allah says. You will see my flowers and smell them and come to me, Allah says. Maybe you will see the waterfalls and recognize me. Maybe you'll see the trees and recognize me. Because the whole of the universe and the creation calls a man to me. Allah says, maybe your brains will wake up one day and you will come to me. But while you're sinning, you are fighting with me. You are competing with me, Allah says. And I will compete with you, Allah says. Allah, Wali of Allah said, when a person pesters you, when a person pesters the Wali of Allah goes silent. He closes his mouth. He says, I don't need to reply to you. Has Ali Karamallah what said? Why do I need to reply to you when Allah Ta'ala is my Rabb who will fight on my behalf? Why should I take revenge? Then Allah will take revenge. My revenge will be nothing. I'll grab your neck. I'll fight with you. I'll argue with you. I'll quarrel with you. Maybe I'll slap you or we'll fight. So the Wali of Allah says, no, don't me waste my time. I'll stay quiet. No, if I take revenge, then Allah goes back. Allah says that, did you not have yaqeen that I am assisting you? So the walis of Allah, the sahaba, were silent. Allah Ta'ala says that you leave it to me, Allah Ta'ala says. You leave it to me. Then Allah Ta'ala says, when you oppose the wali, then Allah Ta'ala comes to the fore. Allah says, then I compete with the person. So Hazrat Dhunnun Misri said one thing. Why, O man, do you challenge and compete with Allah? You are weak and the weakest, and you are competing with the most powerful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he just stepped 3 feet further, the king, and he heard this statement. It revolved in his mind. He came back. He said, Darvish, Wali of Allah, did you just say something? He wasn't scared, the Wali of Allah. He said, did your heart open? He said, the king said, I want to ask you, how can I connect with Allah? Introduce me to Allah. Hazrat Dhunnun Misri said, sit down, O king, I'll introduce you to Allah. He was a great wali. And what does he say about this gathering? Think, I want to present his words to you. That dhikr, you are sitting here for dhikr. First I explained to you who was Dhunnun Misri. That in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this gathering that we are sitting in? And I say to you again, that if you sit in a gathering today and do dhikr, when a new person comes, then don't just give him a bump and push him. When he sees us, then, you know, nafs and shaitan, he sits down, he maybe looks and then he leaves the gathering. Look at this, experience this, because we are there, we're experienced, aren't we? We're sitting on the high pedestal, people come, people who are new, we sit in this masjid, and lots of different types of people come and go, and sometimes look from an angle, look from your own eyes, that when you're sitting in the majlis, in the gathering of dhikr, and the noor of dhikr, and the sunnah's noor, then as you're walking around, and you're going around, and people will see you, they'll stop, they'll look at you, the message will come from Allah, they'll go and take part, but the nafs will say, no, go back, I can't do this, it's too hard for me. A person comes, and he goes, some people stay, some people go, and Hazrat Dhunnun Misri, the great wali of Allah, explains about the barakah of this gathering. There's this great statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who He wants to forgive. And this is a very big piece of news for us people. Allah Ta'ala, for those people who He loves and holds beloved. At that time, He gives the tawfiq to do dhikr. At that time, when the whole dunya is ghafil and negligent and lazy and sleeping. Subhanallah. Say loudly, Subhanallah, brothers. Subhanallah. Great news. Great glad tidings. Allah Ta'ala gives to those people who He loves the tawfiq to do dhikr of Allah at that time when the rest of the world is lazy and negligent and asleep. Look today. Look today. What are you? How has Allah defined you? This is proves. Arif Billah Hazrat Dhunnun Misri. This is not hadith, but the statement of the great wali of Allah. The Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the people who do dhikr, Allah has announced, these are those people I love and they love me. It cannot be a person who's doing dhikr that he doesn't love me, Allah Ta'ala says. He will come to dhikr with this reason, because he loves Allah. Allahu Akbar. The person in whose heart is the splash of Allah Ta'ala's love, he will go nowhere else in the world. Straight where will he go? Gathering of dhikr, he'll sit down, he'll feel at peace, cool, just like the fish. When the fish is out of water, it's trembling, it's panicking. When it gets into water, it feels in peace and content. Same way, a person who loves Allah, when he comes to dhikr gathering, he'll feel at peace, relaxed and cool. So first point, Hazrat Dhunnun Misri said, when you sit in the gathering dhikr, Allah says, you are my beloved. And what reward will you get? You think you'll get a small reward, Allah asks? Will you get a small reward? Allah says, no, the whole world is asleep. Ghafil. Ghafilin. Their hearts are ghafil. Biggest adab for the people in the world is when their hearts are ghafil. Biggest adab. The worst punishment of Allah. Worse than earthquakes and storms and tsunamis and volcanoes is when a person's heart is dead. Asleep. So Allah says, I give the greatest reward to my beloved creation that I give him the action of dhikr of Allah. The world, the people of the world don't know what he's doing. What are you doing? What dhikr are you doing? What gathering of dhikr? Where are you going? Dhikr? What waste of time? Just do it at home. Oh, what were you telling me to do dhikr? Ghaflat, laziness, disregard. And the dhakir, Allah loves him. Allah gives him reward. He's running to the gathering of dhikr. Running. He wants to get there quick. No feeling, he's got no dreams, no nothing, because he's just got the feeling in the heart. If Allah unravels everything now and shows us the gathering of Jannah now, we're not going to feel the enjoyment, then are we? But the best thing is this, a beautiful point comes out here, that Allah gives enjoyment. When you want to see enjoyment, Allah wants to see the who has yaqeen in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he comes here without seeing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us hadith. We are the beloved of his beloved, aren't we? The person who loves the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has so much love of Muslim that the whole world will test him. That the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said from his beloved mouth, Allah says, I want to see which Muslim today in this day and age believes in his words without seeing. These are those Muslims who believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They haven't seen Jannah. Remember this hadith I told you where the Sahaba said, the angels used to say, Allah ask the angels, where have you come from? Have they seen Jannah? The angels say, no. What were they asking refuge from? Hell? Allah asked, did they see hell? No. So this is where the point comes out from. So look at the yaqeen of the believers, because they heard from the words of Rasulullah and they believed without seeing. This is the point of this hadith. What a beautiful, fantastic hadith. What's the point here? The point here is that here is where the elevation of Rasulullah comes in. All of us sitting here, we, Allah Ta'ala says to the angels that they are the beloved of my beloveds. They believe so much yaqeen they have in the words of Rasulullah. How much love has gone in their hearts for Rasulullah. Go, angels have forgiven these people. Noor ala noor is the gathering of dhikr. Dhikr, what is this dhikr? The fazail of dhikr, who's told us this? Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? What a beautiful point, this point that comes out of the hadith, how Allah Ta'ala loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah, love these sunnahs, my brothers, your appearances, your heads, your bodies. Make it a picture, a reflection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I swear by Allah, without any hisab, you'll walk into paradise. Without libas, attire, in the hereafter, this will be useful. In the hereafter, it will be useful. That when we pass away, the bodies will be put into the boxes. You'll be wrapped in the coffin and thrown into the grave. But when you stand, I've total yaqeen, you, the people of the sunnah, will wake up on the day of judgment wearing the sunnah libas. It will be announced, these people, they revived the sunnah of Rasulullah in the world when everyone else made the sunnah dead. When people laughed, when they laughed at you, and they joked at you and sneered at you when you practice sunnah. The people of the world used to laugh, and you used to persevere. You used to have patience. When people used to laugh at you, you used to have patience. When people used to put you down, or let you down, or turn their backs on you, or put you into difficulty, you used to accept that I'm on the sunnah. So brothers, don't feel bad. You think you won't get rude? Not now. You're not going to get any reward now. Increase your yaqeen. On what point? Where will your yaqeen increase? On what point? The Rasulullah said, Qala, Qala, Rasulullah. He explained to us. Finished. End of story. Who loved this? Rasulullah said, I like a mama. End of story. I don't need dalil or proofs from the people in the dunya. Who like this? The white color? Rasulullah said, Qala, Qala, Rasulullah. End of story. I don't need dalil further than this. I don't need, end of story, no argument. Yaqeen of God, total yaqeen between the heavens and the earth. We'll do everything under the sun that comes under the definition of sunnah. Sitting down and eating? Who said sit down and eat? Science? Technology? Or is there progress? Or will you be modern? No, I don't care about modern and progress benefit. Qala qala Rasul. Oh, that's it, yeah. Hadith, yeah, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. The king of Rome is sitting, and the Sahaba, they're sitting on Dastalkhwan food mat in their hands. They've got poverty, torn clothes, and the Sahabi, mashallah, he has his sword, and he's got the sword, he's revolving, playing with his sword, he's sitting on the Dastalkhwan. Noblemen, ministers of the king of Rome, the king is sitting there on his throne, his sultan, his kingdom, jewels, power, glory, mansion, palace, sitting there on his throne. Food came, presented. Sahaba sitting. Food is presented on the Dastalkhwan. And everyone's eating. And they're sitting on the floor, the Sahaba eating the same way, the Sunnah way, the way of Rasulullah. And the king, he watched. His ministers watching. They had protocol. They had respect for the guests. But they're watching from the corner of their eyes. What are these Sahaba doing? How are they eating? His sword's on the side. Bismillah wa la barakatah. Washed his hands first. Sat down. Remembered Allah. Bismillah wa la barakatah. After that, he started to eat. And the king is watching. Minister watching. They had patience. Even though they didn't accept. And then the food fell on the ground. On the mat. And then the Sahabi picked it up. He blew on it. Sunnah. Isn't it? Then he put it down. Then he forgot. He said, listen, have manners. This is the king's court, the ministers, what are you doing? You're eating like this, the man said next to him. You have to have manners, you can't eat like this. He whispered, he spoke out loud, the Sahabi, oh, what are you talking about? For the king, you think I'm going to forget the sunnah of my Habib? You think I'm going to forget for the king and his ministers? Oh, feeble man. Why? Why? He had so much yaqeen in his heart. Qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What kind of yaqeen have you got? You came running to dhikr. Qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the angel was saying in Jannah. Not the, this man didn't see paradise. He didn't see hell. He didn't see anything, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, they didn't see nothing. They didn't know about the gardens of paradise. They just had yaqeen in the heart. That, qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, we believe. That's it, my brothers. My friends, final point, summary, so we can start dhikr with total passion and enjoyment. Allah, I'm telling you a beautiful reward now. Today I've come into passion, so I'm going to give you another reward. Sometimes there's Jamal, sometimes there's Jalal. Sometimes there's Jalal and Jamal. There's the power, the blood of Faruqi. What was I saying? This is the reward. So another reward. So brothers, the point is this. Beautiful hadith, unique hadith. Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. That a good gathering, and a gathering, there cannot be a gathering greater than the dhikr gathering. Do you understand this? Why? Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, so there's no doubt here. There cannot be any gathering better than dhikr. When a person attends a good gathering, or Allah Ta'ala sends someone together, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Count the words that I'm saying, and do dua for me. Do dua for me. That Allah Ta'ala, when a good gathering, if Allah Ta'ala sends somebody to a good gathering, then due to the sadaqah of that good gathering, of the benefits of the good gathering, 200,000 Different gatherings, Allah Ta'ala sets that person free from 200,000 bad gatherings. Bad gatherings that he attended. Allah Ta'ala compensates due to that person attending one good gathering. Do you understand what I'm saying? One good gathering for a person attends, it compensates for 200,000 bad gatherings that he had attended. His whole life, a person doesn't attend 200,000 bad gatherings. So Allah Ta'ala compensates and gives him that reward. Amazing. So now take out your calculators and distribute the reward. All the gatherings. With what? Ramadan. Multiply this now. 200,000 multiply by how much? 700. You'll get tired of counting. But Allah Ta'ala, I didn't even go to that many bad gatherings. And you're giving me this much reward for attending this one good gathering. How can this be? Allah will give the answer. Definitely. That you attended that good gathering. Minus. But all the other gatherings that you had, you didn't attend bad ones. But I'll increase your good gatherings so you can walk into paradise. So the reward does not go to waste. Don't waste these gatherings, my brothers. Don't waste. I've wasted my time. You are pious people. And you, wherever you get the gathering of a wali of Allah, the company of wali of Allah, I'm not telling you come to do this gathering. Go to good gatherings. Remember Allah. Do dhikr. Improve your lives. Ramadan is passing fast. Fast, my friends. We haven't even seen it. It's passed fast. And there will come a time that people will be praying our salah, janazah will be lying down in front of them, passed away. And after a few minutes will be lowered into the ditch in the grave. Then you're going to remember these gatherings, these words, these points. Remember what I'm saying? Carefully. Carefully. May I do amal on this and you try also to do amal on this. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.